Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, because it is a Friday, as we usually do at the end of the week, we're looking at the economics news that has made the week. And for today, there is a lot of data that has come out this week that we're going to be touching on. One of the things during the COVID-19 pandemic was that economic data was a bit hard to come by during the harder parts of lockdown, especially in April and in May. But now it seems that there is a steady flow of economic data that is coming out over the last couple of months. And we had new data that came out this week. To help us to unpack what some of this data actually means, we are joined by Jacques Nel, who is the head of macroeconomic research for Africa at NKC African Economics. Jacques, greetings to you. How are you dealing with load shedding?
Greetings. Surviving. What else can we do?
No, I think yes, that is the spirit. That's all any of us can actually be talking about. And because we are talking about load shedding, energy is a big issue at the moment for a lot of people at home who are trying to get work done, but at the same time, industries that are trying to open up and get more economic activity going. We understand there's been some energy generation data that's recently come out.
Yes, it was actually very unfortunate timing. Yesterday, there was the energy generation data release that gave some pretty positive data. The amount of energy generated rose by 1.3% month on month in July, which doesn't sound like much, but you know, this follows the 16.5% collapse in April. And that collapse was, of course, due to the slump in demand due to the lockdown. But since then, we've seen a steady increase in generation. The July figure was still down 4.5% on July last year, but this was a pretty good increase. And July last year was actually one of our higher generation months. But as that data release came out, we saw stage four load shedding. And this, you know, this is bodes quite ill for the country's ability to power an economy that grows if at the moment, you know, as demand increases with an economy that's really struggling and the system just can't cope with that. So it just makes you wonder, how are we going to power any economic growth going forward?
You know, for a long time in South Africa, especially over the last 2 to 3 years, Eskom and its ability to satisfy electricity demand in the country has been cited as a big risk factor. And you hear it coming from some of the ratings agencies, for example, talking about that risk of Eskom. But I think the problem really seems to have been highlighted right now, especially at a time when, as you say, we are trying to kickstart the economy. We've just shifted to level two, and just that minor increase, not really minor, but that increase of activity just from people going from level three to level two, especially, is causing, you know, some of these issues for Eskom. It really doesn't seem as if it bodes well for the country's prospects.
No, not at all. And granted, the cold weather would have resulted in an increase in demand of late. But, you know, going back a few months, the problem that Eskom posed was more, you know, everybody focused on the fiscal problem that the company poses, you know, all the bailouts it's going to require and the impact that this is going to have on the fiscus. But the impact that, you know, the lack of power is going to have on the country's ability to grow was kind of, it took a back seat. And now again, with the lockdown and the virus and everything that this has caused and the anxiety about economic growth, again, you know, now this has taken, everybody's focused on the impact of the lockdown. And again, the constraining impact that the lack of energy is going to have on the country's growth again took a back seat. But now, finally, you know, once the economy starts going again, we see what the problem this really is. The financial problem is still there on the fiscus, but now it's coming to the fore what's a problem the lack of energy is going to be to get this economy going again.
And then on that front, there is manufacturing data coming out. And has any of it been, from just what you can see, has that effect of load shedding come through on some of those numbers yet? Or is this still just one of those things that we're likely to see down the line?
Yes, I think we're likely to see it in coming months. There has, of course, been some load shedding in recent months, but I don't think, as I said, I think the effect of the lockdown has overshadowed the impact of load shedding, as you would understand. But if we look at the APSA PMI, then it does look like the recovery is underway. The August figure is pretty high at 57.3, and that is the fourth consecutive reading above the 50-point threshold. So, it does show that there's some expansion in the sector. But that being said, PMIs should be viewed on a month-on-month basis. So improvements mean that the situation has improved relative to the previous month. And here again, lockdown restrictions, every level that you go down, you are going to see improvements. So that's also a reflection of loosening of restrictions. But, that being said, it does look like the recovery is on its way.
And then, on that one, how are purchasing managers actually feeling? There is an uptick, as you're saying, but what are some of the concerns that people are raising through the PMI?
Well, I think it's important to note that the business activity and the new sales orders have been key drivers behind the improvement in the overall PMI. And this is, of course, once again, if you're looking at it on a month-on-month basis, South Africa entered level two restrictions last month. We saw the resumption of activity in the hospitality industry, and of course, the resumption of alcohol sales. So those things are, of course, going to have a direct impact on business activity and new sales orders relative to the previous month. But then, on the other hand, the inventories index has now been below the 50-point threshold for just over a year, while the employment index, which is very important, as you know, was only at 39 last month. So taking both these two into account, inventories and employment below 50, this suggests that the manufacturing sector is still shedding jobs and is still operating, or it suggests the sector is still operating below capacity.
No, it does sound like it, from that point of view. And the other one, on this PMI that, I think as an indicator of what's going on, whatever recovery has been happening, you said this is another consecutive month of an uptick. Do you think just from the data that is coming out that this level activity, is it enough to get us back to where we were pre-COVID? Or is this growth that's actually going to see us, being on a net growth position, even over and above where we were before going into COVID-19?
No, I think the recovery, all indications are that the recovery is going to take quite a while. There is, of course, going to be a technical bounce back in Q3. And that's just, again, compared to Q2, where a lot of industries weren't allowed to operate. Now they're allowed to operate. But now the problem is that, there's such a lack of demand. People are a bit hesitant to go out and spend their money. A lot of people don't have money to spend anymore because they lost their job or they're at risk of losing their job. So the signs are that there is going to be a recovery in Q3. A lot of that just a technical bounce back from operations being permitted to commence again. But it doesn't look like, we're going to get back to 2019 levels anytime soon. It's going to take years. And then, this overarching problem of Eskom, as soon as we build up some confidence and get the economy going again, we're going to get hit by load shedding. Then some shops, just as they were able to open up shop again, now they have to close shop again because there's no electricity. That's going to be quite damaging to business confidence going forward.
And then the other, set of data that has come out, giving us a different set of indications is motor vehicle sales. What are you seeing on this end?
In April, we saw a complete collapse in sales. I think it was around 98% year-on-year collapse in sales in April. And now we've seen this trend as with that decrease decreasing every month. So the latest figures in August Total sales were down around 26% compared to August 2019. The one bright spot was that the performance of the medium and heavy commercial vehicle segments did show some growth, even on an annual basis. But on the negative side, exports dropped significantly. They were down nearly 47% on August 2019. But it should be noted that August 2019 was the highest monthly total on record. But still, this lack of exports, not really, we're going to feel it after a while. Some positive news there. It does look like our main trading partners are seeing a pickup in activity there, and they're loosening their restrictions. So we could see a pickup in export demand, which would be really important to get our, support our domestic vehicle industry. Just another looking at the most recent figures, new passenger sales were down 32% on August last year. And a key driver here was the car rental industry, which, as you can imagine, with the tourism or hospitality industry unable to operate, there's been no need for the car rental industry actually to, shore up their fleets. So there was only 8 units sold for the car rental industry in August. So this accounted for around 0.04% of new passengers car sales. And normally the sector accounts for nearly 20% of new passenger car sales.
No, yeah, that does sound quite dire, especially those rental numbers that we're talking about, and all of that being driven by people being able to travel either for business or leisure, and we just wonder whether level two will be enough to actually help to resuscitate things on that front. But I guess that then helps us to then touch on, your impressions of how level two is going so far.
Well, so far we've seen some improvement in the latest months, but it's difficult to say because how enthusiastically are people going to take advantage of their newfound freedom? Just walking around on the streets, you do see people in restaurants, but of course, restaurants are only able to operate at a capacity that would enable them to adhere to the social distancing requirements. So it's good to see that people are going out and spending, but how long are they going to spend, or how long are they going to be able to spend? Because unemployment does look like it has increased considerably in Q2, probably going to increase further in Q3. So it's difficult to say. Of course, it's critical to loosen restrictions, and this level two was due. But it's still too difficult to say what the impact on GDP or Q3 is going to be due to this level three, given all these other problems that the country is facing.
I actually want to draw for a moment on the other countries that you perhaps look at, just to get a sense of what other countries you look at, in terms of your research focus.
Well, we focus on most major African economies. And of course, Africa is so diverse. Each country is facing its own problems. Each country adopted its own approach to the crisis. And so consequently, each country is also at a different stage in the recovery. We have seen countries, some East African countries like Rwanda and Kenya, they were pretty quick to adopt their lockdown measures. And they've also been in a position to provide more stimulus to those economies. And consequently, the slump that we expect to see there won't be as severe as we expect to see in South Africa. And the recovery could also be quite more rapid than we expect to see in South Africa. But of course, it's not all positive stories. A lot of these countries are a lot more commodity dependent. So countries like Nigeria, that's dealing with the hit from COVID, but then also lower oil production and prices. Similar in Angola, those countries are going to take even longer to get back to levels where they were in 2019. So it's a very diverse story across the continent. And it's very interesting to see how this plays out, considering the different approaches that each country took.
Which regions actually are you hopeful for or about?
We're pretty positive about East Africa, just because those economies are a lot more diverse than many other African countries. Africa has, in general, been, struggling with this resource curse where the economies are structured around commodity exports. But The flip side of that is if you don't have a lot of mining commodities to export, such as those in East Africa, and yeah, I'm thinking of Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, then you're almost forced to build an economy that's less dependent on commodities, a lot more diverse. Now, it should be noted that there's a lot of base effects here at play because these countries are still some of the poorest in the world. You know, their GDP per capita are a fraction of those, even of South Africa's. But they do seem to be, they have recorded strong growth in recent years. A lot of them brought this momentum into 2020. And if you've got this strong economic momentum, you know, dealing with a crisis and then recovering from a crisis is a lot easier than a country like South Africa that was struggling coming into a crisis and now having to deal with this crisis. So it's understandable that those economies will not endure the pressure that South Africa will and are set to recover a lot more rapidly than a country like South Africa.
As we end off the discussion, I'd be interested to get your thoughts just around trade on the continent, because as you said just now, different countries have taken their COVID-19 responses, stimulus, lockdowns, quite differently. But I think one of the things that it has exposed, as you said just now, is how reliant African economies are on commodities, which means a lot of international trade. Do you think the crisis sort of changes, I guess, the complexion of the conversation around Africa trade? Because one of the things that the lockdown has sort of interrupted was the commencement of this free trade agreement and all of that. Do you think all of that then factors into going forward, African countries looking to trade more against each other so that they can insulate themselves from, more of the external shocks? Because the motor industry in South Africa, as you put it just now, is quite reliant on what's going to be happening overseas in terms of how they lower their restrictions in terms of receiving imports and that type of thing.
Yes, in 2014, we saw the negative impact that a slump in commodity prices can have on a commodity-dependent economy. In 2014, a lot of African countries struggled, and this was specifically due to a slump in demand from China, which remains one of the biggest trading partners for most African countries, and a lot of that is in the form of raw commodities. So one benefit that we've seen so far in this crisis is that China was hit first by the crisis, but it also emerged first. And it does look like China is going to record some positive growth this year. So in that respect, a lot of these commodity dependent countries have, you know, haven't had to struggle perhaps as much as they did in 2014 due to that commodity price slump. But yes, that's a good point. You know, you can't remain dependent on commodities because then you're always going to be more vulnerable than other countries that are a bit more diverse, or at least that produce goods with a lot more domestic value addition to export than these countries that are vulnerable to fluctuations in commodity prices, because commodity prices fluctuate a lot more than demand for actual goods. So if you're able to produce goods and if you're able to export these goods to a broader range of countries, you know, then you're backing or you're diversifying your sources of economic growth. And you know, that's a good, it's that's what South Africa needs to do, and that's the reason behind the Africa Free Trade Agreement. I have to admit, our house view isn't as positive on that, just because we think it's going to take a lot longer than some people think. It has been delayed now by around a year, but I think that's just delaying something that would have taken around a decade by one more year. So that's going to be a long process, a lot of benefit from it, and it should happen. But we just caution that, you know, if you get too enthusiastic about it, you're going to get disappointed. And you should just keep in mind that it is a long-term project.
And then on the last point for us, your outlook for South Africa, where do you see GDP going? I think one of the last numbers I heard was a negative 6.17% coming out from Treasury. Where are you seeing things going on that front in South Africa?
Well, I have to admit, I think by the end of next week, we're going to have a lot better idea when those Q2 GDP figures come out. At the moment, we're expecting a quarter-on-quarter annualized contraction of around 50% for Q2. And working with that, we expect an annual contraction of around 9.1% for this year.
That's quite a deep number. But that's been us with Jacques Nel, who is the head of macroeconomic research for Africa at NKC African Economics, giving us a roundup of the week's top economics news. He was running us through some of the data sets that have come out this week, starting off with the energy generation, which ironically was showing an increase in power generation, though a lot of South Africans have been going through bouts of load shedding around the country, but at the same time also talking about manufacturing data coming through from the Absa PMI, which is just showing that there is an increase, but whether or not that increase will be enough to get us back to pre-COVID levels and then onwards towards net growth is something that actually remains to be seen. And then some telling numbers about the state of the economy coming out from the motor vehicle sales that are not where they were this time last year, though Jacques does just does highlight that last year's figures, particularly around August, were some of the highest ever seen on record. So taking that caveat in mind when looking at those numbers. Just ending off talking about what's going on in and around the African continent and different economies. They are hopeful about what's going on in regions, particularly in East Africa, just because of their responses and the diversification in their economies. And also just talking about the fact that given where numbers are at the moment and the information available for South Africa, there might be a contraction of 9.1%. That's what they're seeing. But he just ends off by saying that they await further clarity next week when some of the second quarter numbers actually come out.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Some encouraging economic data coming out, but at the same time, just showing the fact that one of the issues that sort of plagues economic data is the fact that a lot of it is sort of backwards looking. Because if you look at the energy generation data, I'm saying that there is an uptick, but currently at the moment, we are going through these periods of load shedding in South Africa. So that little mismatch sort of highlighting, why we need to have more sort of up-to-date, real-time data sets that people can look to for the economy. But on the whole, it does seem as if the data that's coming out, whether it's new vehicle sales, manufacturing, power generation, there is a forward momentum in the economy. I think that's what's important. The real question at this point is two things. First, is there going to be net growth that gets us beyond pre-COVID-19 levels? But at the same time, that's where the second point comes in, because before we can aim for overall growth in the economy, we just need to get the country back to where it was in March pre-COVID, and then from there you can actually take things forward. You heard that forecast, negative 9.1%. That's the outlook that NKC has for the economy. Next week, we'll see what the actual figures will be when the quarter two numbers do come out. And that number is going to be very interesting because it will really show us the actual reality on the ground, what COVID-19 really did to the South African economy, particularly in the hard level five and level four of the lockdown. But going forward, the big thing, just ensuring that there is an ability to get to swing forward. But more importantly, and this is where the Eskom issue becomes a bit of a hot potato, is just the fact that people are trying to get things started again. People are trying to grow, people are trying to expand, people are trying to get themselves back to where they were before COVID and then to grow beyond that. But getting to that place of growth does not help if people don't have electricity for 4 hours in a day, as has been the case over the last week, and towards the end of the week, in some parts, up to 8 hours, if you're unlucky enough to be in a part of the country where you're either having 8 straight hours of load shedding, or you find yourself in 8 a.m. to 12, and then a 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. for example. You know how much work can actually be done. And on top of all that, there's just the fact that a lot of people, particularly people that were in previously office-bound roles, are at home trying to get things done. And at home, unlike in office buildings, people don't have the ability to have generators. A lot of people don't have money on hand to buy diesel generators or to have the money to actually, you know, keep those things alive. So it becomes quite a bit of a strain on companies' abilities to move forward if they don't have power. So Eskom really does need to come to the table to actually help with this recovery. And once again, we keep talking about the fact that COVID-19 is simply exacerbated or simply exaggerated what was actually the reality on the ground, and more of these examples just show just how much how true that situation actually was. So going forward, we just hope that as I said, Eskom come to the table. So that's been it in terms of this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. Remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Didi Mashamaite. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.